This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood. It's always summer at Hooters. Hooters style. 12 Tampa Bay area locations. Find your location at originalhooters.com. And for those of you listening to the podcast around the country and around the world, it doesn't take too long for you to remember and to think about where your nearest Hooters location is. Daily lunch special starting at $6. And remember, you can go boneless. 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99. All day, every day. Hooters, presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I might be swinging in to one of the Hooters locations near me today, tonight, or tomorrow, maybe all three, as I continue my preparation. Last call for those of you in the Tampa Bay area that want to get in my next golf event, Todd Wright Tour XII. Yes, it is the 12th event. It is the football-themed event. The better you pick football games that afternoon, the better your golf score becomes. Funny how that happens. Basically, every winning parlay card, we subtract strokes from your team's golf score. They sort of, you earn mulligans, if you will, mulligans that are guaranteed to count, not a mulligan that you use and you don't make eagle or birdie. Yes, Todd Wright Tour XII is at the Eagles Golf Club Sunday, October 22nd. The tournament is basically sold out. I'm leaving up the registration page just for any last-minute single, twosome, threesome, or foursome entries. That will be gone early next week as we finalize the tee sheet and prepare for another fun day. The Eagles Golf Club, of course, located in Odessa, just a little north and a little west of Tampa Bay Downs. My golf tournaments offer a ton of value, a lot of food, even more prizes and surprises, and a unique format. As we have with the Eagles, birdies, and parlays for Todd Wright Tour XII. All the information at joebucksfan.com/golf. Okay, before I start the podcast, and we'll start with a review of the Thursday night game as I record this podcast on Friday morning at approximately 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Remember, any unique questions that any of you have for me regarding your team, lineup questions, is this player worth rostering? Is this player worth keeping? Should I drop this player? Here's a trade offer sent to me in daily. Is he worth this price? Is this a good bargain in a daily game? All of those questions can be sent to me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You will receive a response. toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. All right, so the Thursday night game. Again, watching this game, another entertaining Thursday night game. The Thursday night games, for whatever reason, have suddenly become better. Granted, we've had some better teams in the Thursday night games. 3 weeks ago, the Packers played. 2 weeks ago, Patriots and Bucks. Last night, 4-1 Panthers. Really, they're 4-1. Well, now they're 4-2. Eagles, really, they're 5-1. Really, with according to Pro Football Focus, some horrible grades on their DBs. Not much of a running game, although more than Carolina has. So it's just some observations. Ball was in the air a lot. Blunt was okay on the ground for Carolina. McCaffrey, again, proving what a lot of us have said all along. He's not an NFL running back. He may set a record for passes caught by a, quote, running back, but he's not much of a threat in the red zone. Jonathan Stewart, it's becoming pretty clear, excuse me, to opposing defenses. When Jonathan Stewart is in the backfield, Carolina plans to run. When McCaffrey's in the backfield, Carolina plans to throw. That caught up to him a little bit last night in an otherwise high-scoring game. From the Eagles' standpoint, for those of you in what is becoming to me not a year of the tight end, but a year where tight ends make a resurgence in the NFL. And maybe it's just because you have so many athletic tight ends that are tough to cover and have more reliable hands, which coaches and quarterbacks like. A couple of them last night, Ed Dixon, who the minute Greg Olsen went out, Ed Dixon basically said, I can run these plays. Just run them. Don't modify the offense. I'm good. And then there's Zach Ertz, who even Patrick Doherty labeled coming into the week, the number two tight end in this week's rankings in fantasy football. Ertz, just a few grabs, was sitting on two for most of the game, and they were both red zone targets that he turned into touchdowns. It was an otherwise off game for Ertz, but it produced two touchdowns in fantasy for Ertz owners and helped produce an Eagles victory to push them to 5-1. And the point I'm making on tight ends is it just seems like more and more teams are utilizing that position. There's more depth there where, say, in previous couple of years, it's been three or four guys that are really worth playing. That clearly separate themselves from other tight ends. Always the Steve Gallo theory has been, give me a wide receiver rather than a tight end. You're more likely to have a big game out of the wide receiver. Tight ends are getting lots of targets across the league. I would say, you know, there are probably about around a dozen tight ends in the National Football League that on an every week basis are getting enough volume to be fantasy relevant, worth rostering, worth playing in a must tight end league. I commission a league where our flex is a wide receiver or a tight end. That's the only place you can play a tight end. We don't allow flexing of running backs. I've used Ertz in that flex spot of wide receiver or tight end every week since I picked him up on waivers. He was not drafted in my season-long draft. So looking ahead to let me take that point one step further. I think we talked about this on a previous podcast, or I talked about it with my friend Gil Alexander on VEASAN on Sirius XM, as I do a segment with him every Thursday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. The wide receiver production and the wide receiver market in fantasy, I would imagine about 50% of you fantasy owners have been disappointed with at least one, if not more, of the wide receivers you've drafted in season-long leagues. Or in your daily games, wide receivers have let you down probably more than any other position where you're getting relatively nothing. Let's say, you know, 4 points or less in a week, and you're expecting at least 7 or 8 or 9, and you're obviously hoping for a higher season. It seems like the floor is lower on a majority of wide receivers this year, and I don't necessarily have an explanation for it, but it's just there. Martavis Bryant owners know what I'm talking about. Amari Cooper owners know what I'm talking about. Brandon Cooks owners know what I'm talking about. We're week 6, and he's had one game to validate you drafting him as a wide receiver one. Dez Bryant owners know what I'm talking about. Ton of targets, not doing much with them. Granted, Bryant has faced sort of a murderer's row, or a, if you will, a WWE gauntlet of very tough defensive backs through the first month plus of the season. Also, before we go any further, let's talk about the Cowboys as it relates to Ezekiel Elliott. There are those of you that own Ezekiel Elliott who are now wondering, what do I do? Well, you don't have to do anything this week. You don't. Cowboys are off. Sit tight. Let some things play out. Elliott loses. The NFL wins the latest battle in a 2-1 decision that lifts the stay on NFL's suspension, but Elliott still has multiple cards left to play to put a hold on this or still have it removed entirely. The bye week comes very conveniently for this, and I would still expect that Elliott could play next week in the Cowboys' next game. So just you benched him already this week because the Cowboys were off. Don't do anything. Don't panic. Don't trade him. Don't cut him. He might miss next week's game, but there's still a lot that could happen here between now and, say, Tuesday of next week. I mean, something could happen even later today after I record this podcast. So, again, bye week's playing a role. What, Seahawks off this week? Cowboys off this week? I'm trying to think of the other two teams off the top of my head that are off this week that affect you. Oh, Bills off this week. Of course, coming off the Charles Clay injury, if there was ever a time, so there was another tight end who was great this year. Now, the Bills have to find somebody who could actually catch the ball and help them move the chains or get in the end zone in the vertical game. The Bills have been an early season surprise. They've gotten some good DB play. There's going to be even more defensive attention now on Shady McCoy. The volume has been there. His production hasn't. His yards per carry are down. I don't believe he's found the end zone. Maybe he did once in the first week of the season or the second week. So if there was ever a time for Zay Jones to start doing something, this is it. Also, as it relates to the Adrian Peterson deal, I even picked up Adrian Peterson this week. I just want to see what he does. He is working with Bruce Arians. The Cardinals clearly had nobody else that they could count on to run the ball. Andre Ellington can catch it out of the backfield. He's not a true running back. Andre Ellington is basically an older version of Christian McCaffrey. So we'll see what Peterson does. My plan was to roster him this week, pick him up, see what he does in a game against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are better run defense than they are pass defense. We'll see. But I agree with those that say Bruce Arians really wants to see what Adrian Peterson has this week. And if he has something, I may try to sell him off next week because I would rather get some value for someone I just picked up off the waiver wire than think this is going to last, with all due respect to a great career for Adrian Peterson. Everything here seems pretty volatile with him week to week. All right, so just some other thoughts on I'll just throw out some of the games this week. And again, anything I don't cover as it relates to a player you have in a particular matchup or add drops, email me, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Vikings and Packers this week. Continue to check the status of Jordy Nelson, who didn't play at the very end of that Packer victory at Jerry World against the Cowboys, and continue to check the status of Ty Montgomery, something we speculated on in the podcast earlier this week with the performance of Aaron Jones. And let's not get ahead of ourselves here, but I don't think Mike McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers wants to totally sit the hot hand in Aaron Jones. So even if Ty Montgomery is healthy, this could become a bit of a timeshare. I don't think it devalues Ty Montgomery. If anyone knows how to use, talented weapons, it's Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Montgomery isn't a true running back. Seems to be a theme of this podcast. Jones is a true running back. Granted, just a rookie. Played basically a game and a half. That's it. But if Montgomery is active, I wouldn't hesitate to use him in this game. And if you own Aaron Jones, I wouldn't hesitate to use him in this game. You're probably kicking yourself for sitting him against the Cowboys last week. From a Viking standpoint, McKinnon was a hot waiver pickup this week. We've kind of been down this road before with McKinnon, but it validated my theory that you couldn't get too excited about Latavius Murray, who seems to be at the end of the road career-wise. So I don't necessarily think McKinnon is a play this week. Packers run defense is eh. Game flow could hurt McKinnon, but did have a decent performance against the Bears, but that's against the Bears. This is against the Packers. I get if you picked up McKinnon this week, if you have to play him because you had to bench Ezekiel Elliott or LeSean McCoy, then I understand you playing him this week. You could probably do worse. Although you could have picked up Elijah McGuire. Let's move to Jets and Patriots. Check status of Bilal Powell, but everything sort of leading up to this Friday morning has been Elijah McGuire could get a huge workload in the Jets game at home against New England. Doug Martin had good average per carry in the Bucs game against the Patriots last week. It was more what Jameis Winston couldn't do in the passing game and the failures of Nick Folk that cost the Bucs last Thursday night against the Patriots defense. So Elijah McGuire is available in more than 50% of most leagues. Would be another guy, a plug-and-play guy, if you're desperate or just someone to roster. The Jets are continually evaluating players for the future here. And in the meantime, maybe the battle for roster spots has led to this team being efficient, competitive. I don't expect it to last. Nobody does. But Jermaine Kearse is putting up numbers. Austin Seferian Jenkins, as much as I hate him as a human being. Yeah, I do. I look at his numbers. Patrick Daugherty, I believe, rated him number 4 this week in his tight end rankings. You have Elijah McGuire. You have some Jets in play. From the Patriots standpoint, Chris Hogan continues to be, to me, the fantasy focus here. There has been some attention on Brady and the shoulder injury, I believe a sprained AC joint. Until you see Tom Brady inactive, you don't bat an eye at this. And in many leagues where you are not required to carry two quarterbacks, I wouldn't worry about it until you see Tom Brady inactive or declared out. And I just don't think that's likely to happen this week. Let's see. Redskins and 49ers. It looks like Perine in a otherwise toxic backfield for the Redskins. Yeah, this one, fantasy-wise, the Redskins are kind of a mess right now. Although Kirk Cousins is at that point where he'll probably start turning it on, but who will be the beneficiary? Chris Thompson has put up a lot of fantasy points in the backfield. Again, we don't expect that to continue. Jordan Reed, actually, as of now, I didn't look this morning to see if he fell getting out of bed, but he's healthy. Jordan Reed might be one of those guys. If you did make an investment in him and he's already frustrated you maybe again this year, this could be a game where Jordan Reed goes off for 95 yards and a touchdown. And then if you're have owners in your league who don't listen to my podcast, maybe you just sell high on him on Tuesday. Seriously, just move on from him. There are plenty of other tight ends out there, and then you don't have to worry about Jordan Reed not being healthy enough to play. And this could be a week where he has a good performance. Also, Jay Gruden has talked about getting Jamison Crowder more involved. I kind of believe it when I see it. By the end of this year, I would expect Terrell Pryor will have put up some numbers. Crowder, I'm not so sure. Reed just doesn't stay healthy enough, and I'm not sure where we're going with Dotson and Ryan Grant. From the Niners standpoint, you know, big fan of Matthew Berry and the Fantasy Show and the ESPN2 Fantasy Pregame Show. Matt Berry keeps saying Matt Breida must be owned in all leagues. He's still available in mine. Nobody's ever rostered him. And I thought about it. This week, Elijah McGuire, to me, is a better pickup. Derrick Henry's was cut last week in my league. I think he's a better pickup just to stash. There's talk in Tennessee of getting Henry more involved. Don't buy it this week. I don't. Who else was on the waivers this week? Buck Allen, I think, is a better pickup. So I disagree with Barry on Breida. I know that Hyde has had the hip, and there's all this talk that just they go with the hot hand in San Francisco. You know, the Niners are playing hard. They're not going to win many games. But at this point, I don't I see a lot of other options other than Matt Breida out there if you're going to look for a lottery ticket on a running back that's going to pan out for you over the coming weeks and months. Bears and Ravens, we just mentioned Buck Allen. If there's a positive game flow, and there could very well be in this, I mean, you know, the Ravens looked awful just 2 weeks ago, and now they look like they could get on a little bit of a roll here. Buck Allen is going to be the beneficiary of some of this because he's clearly the back that they feel can do good things for them or as good as or what they need more so than anybody else. And I believe West is out for the week. I know he's injured. First impression of Mitchell Trubisky. One thing that worries me about Trubisky, and people seem to, the optics on this is, wow, look at his movement. Look at him throwing on the run. I think Trubisky takes too long and too big of an arc on these rollouts that he's going so far backwards and then he's cutting the field in half. I don't know that he's doing himself any favors. To me, it's like, granted, he hadn't played under center until this year, and this might be what he's doing, that he feels he's literally, the minute he gets the ball, it seems like he's running like hell from the defense. That's what it looks like to me on Mitch Trubisky, because he's not used to being under center. He certainly doesn't look like a pocket passer to me, and just it's always these huge arcs and sprint outs and rollouts and cutting the field in half. If opposing defensive coordinator is going to be like, okay, fine, maybe you're going to run away from us, but if you're going to take that long and you're going to go that far back, we can defend that. And we'll just cut the field in half and box you in. That doesn't impress me on Trubisky. So at this point, I understand if you're playing Jordan Howard, you had a 40-yard rushing touchdown taken off the board the other night. It was a down night for Tariq Cohen, but in terms of the passing game, I'm not getting too excited yet. I don't think there's a good plug-and-play option. Falcons, doesn't look like Mohamed Sanu's going to go. That elevates Taylor Gabriel's value, who's kind of been missing in action this year. Sanu has had volume. I don't know if Gabriel gets that or if Hooper gets that. Falcons coming off a bye week. Julio Jones owners wondering when he's going to get in the red zone. That's just something that you deal with Julio Jones sometimes. Get a lot of volume, get a lot of yardage. And sometimes you wonder, where are the touchdowns on a high-scoring offense? So from the Dolphins' standpoint, I'm concerned that Jarvis Landry is overvalued this week. Some are saying the matchup is good with the Devontae Parker injury. Most of his targets should go to Landry. I just wouldn't get too excited about Jarvis Landry this week unless you're just looking for something. You know, last week he gave just, you know, he ran a little seam route, sat down in it, and Cutler hit him for a touchdown. There's just still not a lot to like about what's going on here with the Dolphins. They have the change in run game coordinator and offensive line coach. Ajayi has been a disappointment. I don't think you're playing Dolphins unless you absolutely have to, at least right now. Let's see. Browns and Texans. Will Fuller is, I'm not going to call him a must play because you probably have, although in an otherwise down year for wide receivers, Will Fuller's been one of those guys that you could pick up on the waiver wire the last couple of weeks, and he's producing. If for whatever reason Will Fuller is still there in your league and nobody's picked him up, grab him. Play him this week. Why not? Browns changing quarterbacks? Why? I have no idea. But Deshaun Watson elevates the value of everyone around him. Fuller looks the part of a number two. We saw this at the beginning of last year with a different quarterback. The only one who isn't coming along is Dante Foreman, who had some big plays early in the year, and Bill O'Brien talks about as an every down back. Let me stop here because I don't know if I talked about this here or somewhere else. Just because a coach publicly defends a player, says they're an every down player, we need to get them more involved, I think, for lack of a better word, it's bullshit. And here's why. The coach can't speak the truth about the player's role or why the player isn't producing. He doesn't want to publicly shame his player. That does nobody any good. Well, what a fantasy owner, but the coaches don't care about us. Even though more and more, we fantasy owners are going to keep the NFL in business. Well, that and the gamblers. So when, the talk of Derrick Henry and, oh no, we got to keep this a timeshare and get him more touches. And Jamison Crowder and Jay Gruden says, you know, that's on me. I got to get him the ball more. And, you know, we heard this about Isaiah Crowell last week. Yeah, what'd that lead to? If nothing else, if a coach speaks that way about a particular player, I would go in the opposite direction. Call bullshit on it. I was considering rostering Derrick Henry this week until the Tennessee talked about Derrick Henry. Now, at some point, there's going to be a switch from Murray to Henry. But now I need to see it in the numbers. I don't need someone to tell me it's going to happen. I need to see it in the numbers. And I'm still convinced Murray is the lead back here. And I told you a week or so ago, don't panic on Murray. Maybe you're going to sit him when Mariota doesn't play. Same thing applies this week. But don't dump him. Maybe you can sell high on him. But that's a little tough right now. But just when coaches are asked about a player, and then they talk about their role positively, and we need to get them more involved. Best example of this was Marvin Lewis early in the season in training camp on Jeremy Hill and how valuable Jeremy Hill still was. Really? I'm sorry. Yeah, so go the other way. Let's see. We've talked about Adrian Peterson. Quick thought on the Rams. Cooper Kupp, a drop red zone target. I don't deny Cooper Kupp is still going to get red zone looks. He's still just a rookie. The Rams are still finding their way. The Rams are going to go as far as Todd Gurley takes them. This is a good matchup for Gurley. It's a week six matchup of teams that, for lack of a better term, just don't stink. The Rams and Jags were expected to stink. Through 5 weeks, they don't stink. Someone could stink in this game. So two really good backs, very productive in Fournette and Gurley. I don't know that you're playing anybody else in this game. That's it. I think it's Fournette and Gurley. The interesting thing on the Rams is so many Sammy Watkins owners are disappointed. So many people want to know, do I play Cooper Kupp because he gets the red zone targets? The one guy who's actually putting up some decent numbers in the Rams passing game is Robert Woods. Now, he did this last year at times for the Buffalo Bills. It's nothing spectacular, but if you're desperate, that's kind of the guy for the Rams at this point. What do I make of all the problems with the Steelers and Ben's five picks? I still love Le'Veon Bell. This is a good spot for Le'Veon Bell against the Chiefs, in my opinion. I haven't liked Martavis Bryant. Wouldn't touch him. Still wouldn't touch him. Don't expect things to change. I think Smith-Schuster and Eli Rogers may surge ahead a little bit in targets as Ben gets more and more frustrated with Bryant. Antonio Brown had, 19 targets last week. That will continue. The Steelers will figure this out. But from a fantasy perspective, I know one of you listening to the podcast said, well, someone offered me Martavis Bryant. this week. Yeah, he's trying to sell him before he cuts him, because that's about what it's gotten to for the Steelers. Chiefs, pretty predictable. The two touchdowns for Charkhandrick West, that's more boom or bust. I won't call it vulturing, because West, clearly those plays were run for him. He draws less defensive attention than Kareem Hunt. It's unfortunate for Hunt owners or Kelce owners or, like me, a Tyreek Hill owner, that we don't get those touchdowns, but that's just the diversity of the Chiefs offense at this point. And Giants-Broncos is the Sunday night game. Part of me thinks that the only way the Giants – I actually don't know what the Giants' game plan would be, because now without Odell Beckham, and now they're without Brandon Marshall – and I think Engram plays, and they have one other, like, clear, healthy wideout who's had some grabs earlier this season. From the Broncos standpoint, yeah, you're playing C.J. Anderson. Maybe you're playing Simeon if you're a Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson owner this week. You're hoping for a better-than-average game from Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders seems to be getting more of the meaningful throws than Demaryius Thomas, at least pre-bye week for Denver. But from the Giants' standpoint, I don't know. It's messy. Eli could throw it 55 times. I don't know who's going to catch it. I'm not sure what the volume for Wayne Gallman is going to be. I think Gallman's a decent player. He might be square peg and round hole in the Ben McAdoo offense. But yeah, those are just some thoughts. I mean, it's just sort of an odd situation with the Giants at this point. I know a lot of you who are Beckham owners are like, what do I do? And I don't have a lot of answers for you. If Will Fuller's available, you pick him up. That's your answer. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations. Find your location at originalhooters.com. $15 gets you a bucket of 5 Corona, Corona Light, or Modelo bottles. And don't forget those daily lunch specials starting at $6. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Email me any unique questions to your season-long or daily fantasy games. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I enjoy doing this podcast for you. I enjoy talking fantasy football. I enjoy playing fantasy football. I enjoy responding to your emails at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.